Our scripture this morning is from Luke 15, 3 through 7. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Was accidentally flushed down the toilet. I was freaking out, the Boise, Idaho resident said. It was horrible. I just started screaming. I stuck my hands down the toilet, but the ring had come off and it was long gone. Now, this wasn't any ring. This was a 7-diamond ring. It was custom made. It was valued at over $6,000. Her husband did everything he could. He took the toilet apart. He goes underneath the house. He tries to track it down through the pipes. He can't find it. It is gone. And she was devastated. But a year and a half later, some city workers found the ring. At first, they thought this was a fake ring. It was a toy of some sort. But then they realized this is valuable. And Michelle got her wedding ring back. In fact, she got it back just in time to celebrate her 25th wedding anniversary. It's a joy when lost things are found. And that's just what we're going to talk about today. So my name is John. I'm thrilled that you're with us today. I pray that through our time together, your heart grows stronger and your faith grows deeper. So I would be curious to know, what is the most valuable thing that you have ever lost? Something you have misplaced. I have my phone on me. If you've got my number, you can send me a text. If you're watching online, you can comment there. And in a few minutes, I'll see what those responses are. I'll share them with the rest of the group here. But consider, what is the most valuable thing that you ever lost? Have you ever lost anything? What was that? Let me know, and I'll share those in a few minutes. But, you know, a couple things strike me with stories of things being lost and found. First, things that are lost have great value. You know, we really don't think much of something that gets lost, but it doesn't have any value. That doesn't really even register as being lost. Secondly, things that are lost, that are of great value, require a search. We got to look for it. We got to find it. We instantly go into I must find it mode. Anybody else lose their keys? Occasionally, regularly, often. And when you lose your keys and you need them, you instantly go into search mode. You've got to find your keys. You can't drive your car. You can't get in your house or your place of work. You can't get in your treasure chest or whatever other cool things you have. I don't know what you use your keys for. But you need those keys. And so you search for the keys. Or if you misplace your wallet or your purse or your phone, you search for it. You need it. It's a real crisis. Or maybe the most important of all, the TV remote. In my house, that thing just disappears. Like, I don't know how it grows legs and crawls away, but in our house, the TV remote always gets lost. And you got to search for it. You instantly, when you recognize the thing that is lost, the thing of value, you instantly go into search mode. You've got to find it. You've got to look for it. With the TV remote, some of us are even old enough to remember days before the remote, when you actually had to get up and walk to the television set to turn the channel. So we appreciate the TV remote even more, and that's the reason we want to find it, because it's of great value. So again, when you lose something that's not of great value, it's not really considered lost. If I come in and I've got some dirt on my sneakers and I kick off the dirt, it's not as if I say, "Oh dear, I've lost my mud." No. Or if you reach in your pocket and pull out lint, or maybe your lint is in your belly button, you toss it down. You don't go searching for the lint. You don't say, Family, come together. We've got to find the missing lint. They would think you're crazy because those things don't have value. You only go into search mode when it's something of value. In fact, I would say this. The more valuable the item, the more intense the search. So we are in a sermon series called Blind Spots. We just kicked it off last Sunday. And in this series, we're being challenged to check our blind spots. Like when you go through driver's ed, you learn about your blind spots. Not in your peripheral vision, but it's also not in your side view mirror. And you're taught to check your blind spot. And in the same way, we have people in our lives, people in our world who exist in our blind spots. And so today we're talking about the lost. And when I say lost, I mean those who are spiritually lost, those who don't have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe it's someone who's never heard the gospel, never had that relationship, or maybe, just maybe, it's someone who had a relationship with Jesus, grew up in the church, heard the gospel, but has wandered, turned their back on God, no longer has a relationship, is no longer in fellowship. And Jesus has a story about the lost and found. It's what Jelaine read for us this morning from Luke chapter 15. If you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to open it to Luke 15. I've got the NIV. If you have a different translation, that's okay as well. But Jesus tells them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep. And loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? See, shepherds would have been a common sight in the Judean hillside. They're tending their flocks of sheep. And being a shepherd was a tough job. I mean, for starters, sheep are vulnerable. They're sort of a defenseless animal. They rely on safety in numbers in the flock. Like, as long as they're together, there's a heightened level of safety. Plus, here's the thing. Sheep are just dumber than a stump. And some of you maybe have worked with sheep. I know I have. My grandfather was a sheep farmer. But, like, they don't have their wits about them. They do things that are foolish and stupid. They'll just wander off on their own. They'll get lost. They'll get themselves into predicaments and trouble. In danger. And then, of course, in this environment, the first century, they would have been easy pickings for predators. A lost sheep, a lone sheep, would have been just a tasty meal. But sheep were also valuable. This isn't one of those cases where you just go, it's a lost sheep. What does that matter? No, sheep are valuable. Each and every one of them is valuable, right? We know they're good for their wool. We know they're good for their meat. We also use milk. We also use sheep milk. Feta cheese is made from sheep milk. So the shepherds, their goal is to keep watch over the sheep. Their goal is to keep them safe and keep them together, right? They spent so much time with them. We understand that shepherds would have been really kind of a 24/7 gig. In other words, they are living, they are residing out in the hillside, countryside, in the pastures. This is not a, I guess I'll clock in at 8 a.m. kind of job. This is around the clock. I am living with these sheep. And so, in some ways, you can imagine that a shepherd who had care of a flock of 100, which would have been a typical flock size, it's almost as if they're pets. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they named their sheep. You kind of look like an Abraham. Jacob, get over here. I think I'll call you Sherman. I don't know, but it seems possible. And so Jesus tells us this story. He tells us this parable. We're in Luke chapter 15. And he says, suppose there's a shepherd. He's got 100 sheep, and he takes a quick head count. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? 97, 98, 99, better recount again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 97, 98, 99. One is missing. Wait a minute. I think it's Sherman. Sherman's gone. Oh, Sherman. In that moment, the missing sheep is the most important sheep. It's not that it's more valuable than the other sheep. It's that it's lost. Sherman the sheep becomes the highest priority. And so the shepherd goes on a search for Sherman. He temporarily will even go away from the others and go on a search for Sherman. And he's going to search and search and search. He's going to look, he's going to pursue him until he is found. And when he does find him, he celebrates. He's filled with joy. So let's look at the next few verses there, verses 5 and 6. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and he says, "Rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep." He's like, "Sherman's home. Let's have a party." You know how awesome it feels when you find the keys, when you locate the phone. And some of you have stories of phones that were dropped in random locations, and you used the search, you know, "Where's my phone" app, and you went after it. You're like geocaching for your own device, and you find it, and you're like, yes! It's kind of like that. You celebrate when you find something of value that was lost. In fact, if you look at the rest of this chapter, and we don't really have time this morning to do that, but the entirety of Luke chapter 15 is about its parables of lost things. And the next one that Jesus tells is the parable of the lost coin. It's a woman who loses a coin, and when she finds it, it's the same reaction. It's great joy and celebration. By the way, did you hear about the national coin shortage? Yeah, you know, it's really not all that bad because now people can't give their 2 cents anymore. Well, in verse 7, Jesus says, we're in Luke chapter 15, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent." And all of a sudden, we begin to realize we're not talking about sheep. We're not talking about coin shortages. We're talking about people. We're talking about precious individual lives made in the image of God who have found themselves outside of the fold, who have wandered from God, and whom God pursues, and who come to their senses, and who in this amazing picture that we have here are carried. Did you catch that detail? That the shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders, are carried by our Lord home. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the truth that lost people matter to God and he pursues them. In fact, I would even suggest to you this morning that God wants to use us in that rescue search to reach the lost. Let's check in and see if anybody shared stories of lost things. We got a story of a lost wedding ring, lost twice, and miraculously found both times. All right, let's see if I can find any more stories, things that are valuable that you've lost. Okay, I'm not seeing any. They may be there, maybe not. Whatever it was that you lost, God might use that as a word picture of his view of lost people. That's what Jesus is doing masterfully in Luke chapter 15. He's telling these stories about, you know, when you lose something and how you search for it and when you find it and you celebrate. Like, that's what happens in the heavens when one person says, "I need Jesus." When one person says, "Jesus, carry me home because I've wandered from the fold." And my friends, so often, these lost people are in our blind spot. Might not because we don't see them, but because we don't recognize their lostness, and we don't recognize their need. And God wants us to reach the lost. This is a theme that is frequent in Scripture, the idea of lost and found. And the other theme from this story of being God is the shepherd and we are sheep. It might not be the most flattering analogy given what we understand of sheep. And they're always wandering off, they're getting into trouble. But God will search for, he will do anything and everything in his power just to bring one sheep back to him. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." So might I just encourage us this morning to consider, who is it in your life that's the lost sheep? Who is it that's wandered from God? Who is it that God is calling you? You want to join the search party? You want to join in the seeking and the searching and the carrying back? And it's not that we save people. That's the work of God. Now, some of you might go, "Well, that's a little rude to call people lost, isn't it?" No, remember, when we say someone is lost, it's not a term of judgment. It's not a term of, "I'm better than you." It's a term of, lost things are valuable. So we don't need to hesitate about using that kind of language. It's a term of utmost value. See, I wouldn't consider something lost if I didn't recognize its value. If my keys are valuable enough to say they're lost and I'm going on a search, how much more valuable are people made in the image of God? Man, getting lost is terrifying, isn't it? I remember being lost one time. I was with three of my friends. We were on a trip. We were in Miami, and we were not familiar with Miami. We parked the car. There were four guys from Ohio, young men. We parked the car. We had a particular destination that we were trying to reach. We take off on foot. It took us about an hour, if I recall correctly, and we arrived at our destination, and we went about our business there. Well, when it was time to leave, when it was time to go back to the car, we didn't even know which direction to go. I will also share with you that this was like before the days of cell phones. All right, so we're just four guys in Miami, like, and our car is somewhere. It was at one of those like park and ride lots. And so we just began to walk. Not knowing if we're going in the right direction or the wrong direction, we just began to walk. And an hour went by, another hour went by. I mean, we are wandering for multiple hours. We happened to stumble upon a security guard at some sort of workplace, and it was a female, and we're like, "Let's just ask, maybe we can." So we're trying to talk with this woman, ask for help. Her English wasn't very good. She seemed unsettled by four young men that were there. She basically just wanted us to leave. We're trying to describe the place that we parked. And it's a disaster. It's a disaster. We leave like more confused than ever. So one of the guys is really freaking out. It's starting to get dark. We are far from home. Don't know where our car is. Utterly lost. We don't even know where do we turn for help. Where do we go? And so I remember we stopped and we prayed. Like, okay, it's going to be all right. We're trying to calm down the one friend who's just really losing it and freaking out. I remember praying, asking the Lord for help, and then let's go. Let's keep on going. And we found our car. It probably could be considered miraculous, and I wonder what the route looked like the people of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years. But I do remember the experience of being lost, being physically lost, and maybe some of you have had that experience, or maybe you've even had the experience of a child that was lost. And here's what I can say. It's terrifying. And when you're found, but when we saw that car, I mean, we cheered and cried out and praised God. We were so happy. People that are lost matter to God. He relentlessly pursues a relationship with them. In fact, Jesus says this very clearly in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Here's the question for us. As followers of Jesus, do we embody the same kind of care, concern, should I even say urgency, to reach the lost? To let them know about the heart of the Good Shepherd? Why would we bother? Why would we take any of our time or effort to reach the lost? Why would we get out of our comfort zone? If they're curious about God, wouldn't they just show up on a Sunday morning at church? And this is the way we are tempted to think, right? We reach them because we care about them. Because our heart is for them, because God helps us in that. Because we care. We know that along life's journey, you need help. You need guidance. You need people that are not going to give up on you, even when you go astray. And so in our effort to reach the lost, I want to clarify something. It's not like we pretend we have all the answers. It's not as if we say, you should just be like me. I've got it all figured out. It's not as if we pretend to be perfect. We don't have all the answers, but we know the one who does. Can I get an amen? See, that's us in the role that we play. No, we're not going to carry people. We're not responsible for salvation. But is it possible for us to say, in our imperfection, in our feeble and frail existence, we say, we don't have the answers, but we know the one who does. And he loves you. And he will go to great lengths to reach you and to carry you home, even when you've been unlovable. Even when you've willfully wandered away and turned your back on him. See, this is our own story, right? We've been carried by Christ into the kingdom. And so we have that good news to share with others. That Jesus is the answer for the weary. He's the answer for those that are confused. To the hopeless, to the lonely, to the ones who can't sleep at night. Because they've got worries and they've got fears and they've got anxieties. Jesus is the answer and the healer to the ones that are broken, to the ones struggling with guilt and shame, to the ones that feel like they are worthless. And they need to hear this truth, that there is a God who made you and who loves you. He will pursue you. Yes, even when you're stubborn and stupid like a sheep. Every single one of us at some point in our lives have wandered from God, have had a broken relationship with God, our Creator. The Bible tells us this, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. All of us. We all go from lost to found. We all need to be found by Christ and carried by him. Here's what Jesus says in John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And so I want to invite each and every one of you to turn to Jesus. To turn to him in faith. Confess that you've gone astray. Thank him for rescuing you. You can do that today. Maybe you've never done that before. You can do it today. In fact, it would be my honor to pray with you today. Meet up with me after the service. I will go with you before God's throne of grace, where you confess your wrong, you ask for help, and you invite Jesus into your life. And I want to challenge each of us then to also consider, who is it in our life that's lost? Who is it that has wandered? Who is it that God is calling you to pursue, to pray for, to share the life-giving power of Jesus with? So I'd like to offer up two ways for us to reach the lost today. Two ways to reach the lost. The first is to build relationship. You know, for most of us, when we think about evangelism, we think of the guy with the bullhorn. We think of the street corner preacher. And he's warning people of impending doom. Or we might think of the old school, like big tent revival. When we think of evangelism, we might even think of a guy on TV, and he's got on a really fancy suit. And it just seems like he talks more about the offering than the gospel. Like those are some of the things that we tend to think of. Did you know that Catholics in Las Vegas can actually put casino chips into the offertory? And at the end of the weekend, there's a brother, he goes around to the casinos to cash them out. Yeah, I guess he's called the chipmunk. See, the issue with some of those images that we have about evangelism is they're devoid of relationship. See, notice that. Some of those bullhorn preachers and street corner guys and doom and gloom and just give your money, that's not about relationship, is it? Think about Jesus. Man, he was all about getting into people's lives. He hung out with people. He spent time with people. He broke bread with people. He went over to their house. He told stories. While the scriptures, I don't think, make any reference to it, I think he laughed at jokes and told jokes. And he mourned with people who lost loved ones. He did life with people. He built relationship with people. And that's just what we're called to do as well. So when we talk about reaching the lost, like, it's first noticing them. Like, if they're in our blind spot, it's time to check our blind spot. And then befriending them and extending kindness. And yeah, even pursuing them, even when they're difficult. The shepherd has a relationship with the sheep. He knows them. It's not as if when the one sheep goes off, the shepherd is like hunting it down. I mean, if he did that, why, the sheep would only flee farther and farther away. No, he says that I know my sheep and my sheep know me. He has a relationship. We reach the lost by building a relationship and friendship. And listen, we can be creative in how we do that, especially, particularly, in the year 2020, where our world has changed so much. We can be creative in how we build relationships with people. We can influence people for Christ by wisely using technology. We did a whole sermon series on that. Are we wisely using technology for God's purposes? Are you using technology? Are you utilizing social media, for those of you that are on there, to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world? Or maybe you're succumbing to the worldly temptation, and that is to utilize those resources and that platform to vent. And I shared a couple weeks ago that I've heard way too much complaining from the church. That it grieves me. That it grieves the heart of God. We're going to complain. We're going to gripe. Are we going to vent about our paranoia? Or, you know, you're on one side or the other of the mask debate. By the way, how many people have changed their mind on the masks because of reading a Twitter post? I don't see any hands going up. Maybe it's fruitless. Maybe it's futile. Maybe it's not building relationship and drawing people closer to Christ. And it grieves me when friendships, even like here at MCA, when friendships are being damaged, when feelings are being hurt. Not because our eyes are fixed on Jesus, not because he's the center of all that we're doing and we're saying, hey, technology, social media, that's God, that's for him. No, it's because we're succumbing to the worldly temptations. So with all the authority that God has given me in a sanctified way, can I say, stop? Because we don't have any chance. We don't have a chance of reaching people that are lost when in the body of Christ we're bickering and we're causing offense. You know, your conviction might be different from someone else's. Your ideologies most certainly are different from other people's. But that doesn't mean you can't respect them. That doesn't mean that you can't say, that's my brother in Christ. And we worship together. And we're part of the same core group. And we do life together. We might see the world a little different. Please honor God with those choices. So as we talk about reaching the lost and building relationships with people, use everything at your disposal. We can be creative in how we do that. Draw people into your inner circle and display the unconditional love of God. And stop making those ultimatums. Stop, unless you agree to X, Y, and Z, then, like, we're going to not be Facebook friends any longer. What's the value in that? You just want it to be like this itty-bitty, tiny little circle that thinks and looks and sounds just like you? I don't get that. Okay, there's a second tip for reaching the lost. We talked about building relationships. The second tip is we've got to be bold. It can be a challenge and it can be difficult for us to talk about Jesus and talk about the gospel and his goodness. And when I say be bold, listen, I am not talking about obnoxiousness. Sometimes we confuse the two. Don't be insensitive and call it boldness. Don't be rude, uncaring, mean-spirited. You're not bold, you're obnoxious. What I'm talking about is confidence. We are confident in who God is. And so we're willing to tell the story of what God has done. When we do that, we glorify God. We advance his kingdom cause. I would even say we inspire others to boldly live for Christ. There's a verse in Philippians 1:14 where Paul talks about becoming confident in the Lord and daring all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. You know, I heard that happened just this week. Our young people, our high school students, did a local mission trip. In fact, I see a number of you have the shirts on. And I heard about one of our young people who reached the lost this week and who extended an invitation to come to MCA to someone who's not part of a church. Doesn't want to be in a church, who doesn't understand what happens here, who has an adverse reaction to that. And so I want to say good on you. And I want to say that took boldness. And I want to say we need more of that. If we're going to reach the lost for Christ, we've got to have boldness in order to do the things that God calls us to do. It takes courage to talk about Jesus. We've got to be bold. And their boldness doesn't just come from like, well, okay, I'm just going to work myself up. No, listen. Our boldness comes from the Holy Spirit that indwells us, not from ourselves. So don't be afraid of what people think. In fact, if you want to be afraid of anything, be afraid of not faithfully walking in obedience to what God tells you to do. That you should fear. The scriptures tell us something about that. But no, God gives us boldness through his Holy Spirit to reach the lost. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." So we are bold as lions. Why? Because God is mighty. When we rightly understand who God is, we just can't help but be bold. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So yes, we're going to baptize a few people here this morning. They're just exiting a few minutes ago to prepare. These are people who are publicly declaring their choice to follow Jesus. Why? Because they are not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. And if you think for a second that reaching the lost is this burden we must bear, you know, Pastor really laid it on us today. We've got all this responsibility to save people who don't know Jesus. If you think for a second that it's a task we must accomplish, a goal for our to-do list, a notch in our spiritual belt. No. Salvation is a work of God. And you and I just might be privileged enough to be used by God in that process. Yes, we are called to join him in this great work of redemption, but it's for his glory, and it's by his might. So I want to read Ezekiel 34 over you today. In fact, I want you to stand for this, please. This is from Ezekiel 34. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look for my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they've scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. What good news. What a great work that he's done in our lives and that he wants to do for those that are lost. So may we, by the Lord's help, check our blind spot. That we would reach the lost. That we would do so with love and care, compassion and friendship. And that God would give us a boldness to proclaim the gospel, to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. Let's pray together. Thank you, good and gracious God. Thank you that you help us. Thank you that you are the one who inspires the words we speak. And so as we approach this great task of reaching the lost, Lord, we know it's not up to us. It's not dependent on us. But Lord, what a privilege when you give us opportunity to join you in your work of redemption. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see those opportunities and the boldness to step into them. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.